Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Messiah has come.
The Messiah has come.
And he brought life.
And he brought life.
And he put laughter in my soul. Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Come, let us sing.
Come, let us sing.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
The Messiah has come.
The Messiah has come.
And he brought life.
And he brought life.
And he put laughter in my soul. It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought peace.
If he brought peace.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought joy.
If he brought joy.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough.
If he brought love.
If he brought love.
And he put laughter in my soul. Ha 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 ha.
Hi, I'm Bonnie. Welcome to our worship service today. We hope that it lifts your spirit and inspires you to action. Since today is the day before Martin Luther King Jr. Day, our adjunct pastor, Jeff Trask, will give a teaching entitled, Envisioning a World of Reparations, Extending King's Dream. The following New Testament passage from Romans 12, verses 9 through 12, was surely an inspiration for Dr. King. Amazingly, he actually lived out these verses. May these words and his example continue to help and inspire us. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Love one another with the affection of sisters and brothers. Try to outdo one another in showing respect. Never be lacking in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, as the one you serve is Christ. Rejoice in hope. Be patient under trial. Persevere in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you in advance for Jeff's teaching. Thank you for his gifts of teaching and service. We pray that his message will sink deep into our hearts and inspire us to live out these words and to join with others in the continuing battle for reparations and all forms of equality and justice for our African-American brothers and sisters. Amen.
You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry. the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry. I believe in you, believe in you, for your faithful love to me. You have been my help in time of need.
Hello, beloved community. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio welcoming you to MLK Sunday at New Covenant, where we focus on the prophetic message of Reverend Dr. King's challenge to the church today. 1 year ago, we launched the Reparations Pilot Project with the goal of establishing 20 college savings accounts for African-American grandchildren of NCF and funding those accounts with $1,000 each. I am humbled and excited to report that 22 Black children ages 0 through 17 now have college savings established in their grandmothers' names for a total growing market value of over $23,000. How did we get here? What are the next stages of the pilot project in 2025? And what are our dreams for the future? When I arrived at New Covenant in the late 90s, this fellowship was engaged in the process of what was then called racial reconciliation, hiring Jeff Trask from 2001 to 2012 to serve as our Mercy and Justice Outreach Pastor. Under his leadership, the Champaign County Christian Health Center was born, and Jeff went on to serve at several universities as a professor of public health and healthcare management. In 2018, Jeff resumed teaching at NCF, preparing us to respond to the crises of the pandemic. In the summer of 2020, the leadership team signed the Faith in Place Anti-Racism Pledge, committing to learn from voices of color and prioritize our budget to do so. Jeff began teaching monthly and eventually agreed to resume official ministry as our adjunct pastor. Our journey to reparations started with Zoom conversations during the pandemic, where we hired a legal historian and Black leaders to educate us about the legacy of reparations around the world. Then we established a reparations committee and a reparations fund to begin saving money for the ministry God would show us. One of our primary biblical inspirations was the discovery that God was the original architect of reparations, as recounted three times in Exodus, with God's instruction to Moses of how to bring about liberation for the enslaved people of Israel. At the burning bush in Exodus 3:21 through 22a, "I'll make it so that when you leave Egypt, the Egyptians will be kind to you, and you won't go away empty-handed. Every woman will ask her neighbor, along with the immigrant in her household, for their silver and their gold jewelry, as well as their clothing. Then you will put it on your sons and daughters." And then later in Exodus 11:1 through 3a, the Lord said to Moses, "I'll bring one more disaster on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he'll let you go from here. In fact, when he lets you go, he'll eagerly chase you out of here. Tell every man to ask his neighbor and every woman to ask her neighbor for all their silver and gold jewelry." The Lord made sure that the Egyptians were kind to the Hebrew people. And then in Exodus 12, 35 through 36a, the Israelites did as Moses had told them and asked the Egyptians for their silver and gold jewelry as well as their clothing. The Lord made sure that the Egyptians were kind to the people so that they let them have whatever they asked for. Additionally, we looked at the message of the Hebrew prophets calling for economic justice and repair, as well as Jesus' calling of Zacchaeus, who vowed to repay his ill-gotten profits, confirming God's work of salvation for his household. So, what are the reparations pilot project plans for 2025? We are hoping to add 10 or more savings accounts for Black grandchildren of NCF to fund with $1,000 each, while investing an additional $500 in each of the accounts established last year. In February, I will be working remotely in Texas on pilot program evaluation, a cover letter and a FAQ intro for new participants, literature review, and preparing to present the program to other interested churches for possible replication. Pay Day is a good time to consider our dreams for the future based on the vision of equality and repair of inequities at all levels. While the pilot project's initial scope is 7 years, my hope is that we can continue to fund savings accounts for higher education for all the Black grandchildren of NCF until they turn 21 years old. I am excited to collect the longitudinal data to inspire these kinds of programs in other churches and organizations. Meanwhile, the young people who grew up at NCF, the adult children of African American parents involved in our fellowship, are also due reparations. It is my dream to establish a second pilot project to fund Roth individual retirement accounts for that generation of NCFers to assist them with home buying and building economic stability for the future. Where in our small fellowship do we find the funding for ongoing reparations? We've been designating a small part of our budget, $5,000, toward the reparations fund annually since 2022. Meanwhile, many individuals have also contributed toward reparations in addition to their tithes and offerings. The next step, as I talk to our advisors at Everence Financial, is to establish an NCF endowment to which we can contribute from our estates in order to fund priorities of reparations and other ministries after we are gone. When we consider the gap in generational wealth between Black and white families because of slavery, Jim Crow, and ongoing discrimination and inequality, the idea of allocating generational wealth to mitigate that discrepancy through our wills makes a lot of sense. As we have tithed and funded reparations during our lifetimes, so we can continue to do so after our deaths. We dream of a day that God's kingdom will be more fully revealed, so all of our children, Black and white and every ethnicity, will be able to pursue education without debt, establish homes for their families, and that we would repair the wounds and inequities that separate us from our true identity as the family of God. May God's kingdom come. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Turn me around. Romans 12, 1 through 8, the Inclusive Bible. Sisters and brothers, I beg you, through the mercy of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you can judge what God's will is, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. In the light of the grace I have from God, I urge each of you not to exaggerate your own importance. Each of you must judge yourself soberly by the standard of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't have the same function, so all of us, in union with Christ, form one body. And as the members of that one body, we belong to each other. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, use it in proportion to your faith. If your gift is ministry, use it for service. If you are a teacher, use your gift for teaching. If you are good at preaching, then preach boldly. If you give to charity, do so generously. If you are a leader, exercise your authority with care. If you help others, do so cheerfully.
I won't harm you with words from my mouth.
I love you, I need you to survive. I pray for you, you pray for me. I love you, I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, I need you to survive. I pray for you, you pray for me. I love you, I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you, I need you to survive. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Good morning, New Covenant, or whenever you might be listening to this teaching. My name is Jeff Trask, and as always, it's an honor and privilege to be able to share with you today. This Sunday, we're acknowledging the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who spent his life advocating for justice, for looking out for African Americans, and really the country as a whole, as he was a firm believer that the country treating everyone equally, not just benefited African Americans, but it benefited the soul and well-being of the entire country and everyone in it. Unfortunately, his life was ended earlier than it should have, but his legacy and his dream lives on. But that's what I want to talk about today, is that dream. I was at the National Symposium for State and Local Reparations Leaders recently, and something had been said in the workshop that I never really thought about and considered strongly before. And someone said, what would a world of reparations look like? And I just thought about it. It occurred to me that I always kind of approach things from a deficit perspective of where things aren't the way it should be, you know, where we need to move forward. But I never really have envisioned really much at all what a world actually will look like if there was equality and equity and justice and fairness, not only, you know, currently, but even in the past. What would that have looked like? And it's really important because we know that you have to visualize things and see things in advance in order to strive for them. You know, the Bible says without vision, the people perish. So today I want to kind of think about what does the dream look like? And not just Dr. King's dream, but also God's dream and our dreams. What would they look like fulfilled? But first off, we got to make sure we understand that it's important to dream. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Dreams are important in making a difference in this world. The other day, I was at the clinic, and a guy who needed a prescription called in, came knocking on the door, which, you know, we're not open at certain times. So knocked on the door, came and saw what he needed. And it was one of those really cold days we had recently, too. And this particular patient was having health issues, and he was actually struggling dealing with pneumonia, of all things. And so he's out in the cold trying to find out how to get his prescription. And he was wanting us to call in a prescription to Meijer on Prospect Avenue. And I was thinking, okay, I'm not sure why he would go that far. But as I was having more conversation with him, I realized that the reason why he wanted a prescription called into Meijer instead of the Walgreens, which is like literally right around the corner from the clinic and also right around where he lived, is because the prescription at Meijer costs around $7 and the one at Walgreens costs $15. And this patient literally didn't have enough money to afford the $15 medication. And so, fortunately, I was able to discover that and give him whatever he needed to go to Walgreens instead, because he literally would have taken an hour and a half of his time trying to catch buses out in the cold, trying to get to Meijer. And I share that story because it's important to illustrate why dreams matter. One day I had a dream to start a clinic that many others shared that dream with me. And because of that, we were able to get the clinic started, help thousands of people over the last 20 plus years. And this was just one of the latest cases of someone who was taken care of because of that those dreams. So dreaming is important, but we have dream disruptors out there. One is not admitting that there's a need to dream in the first place. Another one is thinking that your dream is the only one that matters. Another one is letting others crush your dream. And last one I'll talk about is losing hope for your dream. Probably one of the most frustrating things in working in reparations is this ongoing, consistent voice that you never really know exactly where it's coming from, but this whole idea of that this country has made it far enough, slavery is over, get over it, move on. The problems we have are simply due to people's lack of initiative and work ethic and so on and so forth. But I think about, imagine a dream fulfilled, say in education, where the percentage of success is the same for all children, where all children are disciplined the same, that the same percentages of kids on free and reduced lunch are the same, respectively speaking, by race. Access to technology is the same. And even having coats, gloves, and scarves is the same across the board. Unfortunately, we need to dream because currently, locally, 3.5% of Black children in Urbana are reading at grade level compared to 13% overall. Granted, that's not a good overall percentage either, but only 1.1% of Black children in Urbana are at the math level compared to 15% overall. Again, not a good overall percentage, but drastically lower for Black kids. We also know that discipline is not distributed equally, more suspensions and detention and expulsions for Black kids. We also know that Black kids usually have free and reduced lunch more often due to low income and poverty. We obviously know with COVID that technology is not equally distributed and accessible for Black kids. And we know that Black kids tend to not have resources to have warm coats, gloves, and scarves during the winter. So we clearly still need to dream when it comes to education. Same thing goes for our prison system and mass incarceration. In a world with equity and equality and fairness and justice, historically and today, United States wouldn't be the third country in the world in terms of having prisoners, only behind Cuba and Rwanda. Even countries that we often peg and consider as oppressive countries like Russia and China fall below the United States. Of the 5 million people who are in prison in the United States, representing 25% of the world's prisoners, over 2 million of them alone are Black men. I was talking to my uncle at Christmas at my mom's, and he's a Department of Corrections officer, and he's about to retire, but he mentioned how when we had this conversation, how almost everybody he sees are Black and brown people in prison. On my next slide, it also shows how different states have different rates of imprisonment, with Mississippi taking the lead, a place where my daughter and her husband met, and others have basically dedicated their lives to try to rectify some of the ills in the Delta Mississippi area. Clearly, Mississippi is one of those areas that needs lots of dreams. And the last chart I'll show for this one is just the idea that in 1968, when King had his dream, their imprisonment rate was relatively low compared to 2000s and 90s, 2000s, and so on and so forth, even to 2022, where the rates have drastically increased since his dream. Even in Champaign-Urbana, we have pretty clear statistics based on an investigative project on race and equality in 2022, that the city of Champaign's Black population was 17.9%, yet it constituted more than 56% of traffic stops. In Urbana, Black people represent 18.3% of the population. However, they made up nearly 46.5% of the city's traffic stops. The Champaign County's annual reports note that over 5 years, the average percentage of jail bookings to the Champaign County Jail is 57% African-American. So dreams are desperately still needed when it comes to our prison system. We can also talk about healthcare. In a world that has equality, equity, justice, and fairness for all historically and present, we wouldn't have healthcare disparities. We would have Black babies living as long as white babies, you know, when it comes to infant mortality. We have black mothers that will live as often as white mothers when it comes to maternal death rates. Black people will receive the same level and kind of care as white people. Black people will have the same access to care as white people. And black people will have the same number of medical providers as other races. All these things obviously are not the case, where in Champaign County alone, we have the second highest infant mortality rate as a county in the state at 9.4, surpassing Chicago and East St. Louis. The maternal maternity rate among African-American women across the state is 11.4 compared to 5.5 for Caucasian women. In my dream of equality, free clinics would be the norm because all people have access to care, period. The U.S. would resemble every other country in the world and make basic health care universal. In addition to that dream, we would have a health education centers around the country that emphasize population health and try to help people from getting sick in the first place. As an example, currently our clinic, as far as our dental care, we often pull teeth because many of the patients that come, their teeth are not savable and not salvageable, so we have to pull them. Imagine a society and situation where we have community health workers working with households and is able to identify dental needs early on and give people dental care, preventively speaking, so that they can keep their teeth healthy and not end up in a situation where their teeth have to be pulled. I have a picture of a hopeful future, a second location for a health center that we hope to build due to some grant funding. And lastly, in terms of leading the dream, imagine Dr. King and Fred Hampton and Medgar Evers and Malcolm X, the thousands that were lynched, the countless that were broken, wrongfully jailed, choked, shot, and silenced. Imagine if they all lived out their days to the fullest, striving towards building a better world as opposed to being eliminated because of the good that they were doing. So when people want to assume things are okay, we need to encourage that we need to keep dreaming. A second important thing about dreaming is living beyond your dream. Scripture says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, seeing God's and Dr. King's dream shattered has to be unacceptable. I've had sayings in previous teaching titles trying to emphasize that we're all in this together, like, I'm okay, it's okay. Where the idea is that oftentimes when things happen, we first check and see if we're going to be okay. And if we're going to be okay, then the whole situation is okay. When obviously the situation might not be okay for everyone. Another title I had was, it's about justice, not just us. Emphasizing the idea that it has to be about everyone. And I get it. It is so easy to retreat in the comfort of a comfortable situation. It's so tempting to not engage, especially in times when you feel like the world has lost its mind. But if that was the way to go, when Jesus reappeared after the crucifixion, he would have told his disciples to go back to doing what you were doing, you know, to the things that, you know, you felt comfortable with, to the places where you felt comfortable, and to live out your remaining days as comfortable as you possibly can. Obviously, Jesus didn't say those things. He actually encouraged and urged the disciples to go out and spread God's love throughout the world. And they paid a price for that most of the time. How much emphasis does this country place on comfort and finding comfort? Not saying that comfort is a bad thing, but many times even the fear of not being comfortable is used to encourage the ultimate conservation and basically project the notion that you'll never have enough, so you have to do everything for yourself. But the reality is that we must strive not just for our comfort, but for the comfort of others. Hebrews 13:16 says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? And Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. I can't help but to think about reparations when it comes to that scripture. And we can start simply just by going beyond ourselves to our family members. I have a picture of my grandbabies, and they have given me more motivation to do the things I've been doing for a long time because I want to see them be able to live in a better world and to have a better taste of God's and Dr. King's dream than I did. Another area that's important is not letting others crush your dream. I won't read it all, but Romans 12 verses 3 through 8 talk about the idea that we're all one body, that we all have gifts, we all have something to offer, and we should offer those things again as a living sacrifice. And after all, what gives someone a right to crush your dream? I'm sure we all had moments like this. I have a picture of a hammer with an egg, with this poor egg about to get crushed. And I'm sure we all had our moments where we felt like people were crushing our dreams and someone came along with that hammer to just try to want to crush it. You know, but scripture tells us that no one is better than someone else. Like I said, each of us has something to offer and we're all part of the same team. Many things you do will attract doubters and naysayers, but we have to remember why we dream, why our dream matters, and how important our dream is for others, like the example I gave about the clinic. And lastly, I just want to talk about losing hope for your dream. Verse 12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." One way to think about maintaining our hope in a dream is my experience with escape rooms. And I think I've shared this before, so bear with me if I have. But there's a escape room me and a group of family and friends did years ago, you know, before you even thought escape rooms should be passable. And it was called Trapped in a Room with a Zombie. And living a dream is not based on how much the dream is realized. It's based on striving towards that dream until you cannot strive any longer, even when it feels like it's hopeless. Because if you recall my story, we were so far to not completing the escape room, but yet I kept trying to solve clues and solve puzzles until the very last second. And in this world, we are all trapped in a room with a zombie, and we have to work towards solving the puzzles until the last second ticks off the clock. It's hard, but it can be a fun process as well. There's a lot of joy when it comes to helping and thinking about others and dreaming dreams where we can all share. After all, one of the most critical problems in individuals and families and communities is losing hope, because not much else matters if we give up. Even when hope seems crazy, maybe especially when it seems crazy, we need to hang on to it, because our dreams, they bring us hope. And that's why it's so important that we keep dreaming. And so we have to keep working. Just like this picture of Amaya building her train set and Amari inspecting the train cars through TACE, we have to do what scripture says and not be weary in well-doing. We also have to stay engaged and be willing to be uncomfortable for the sake of others. As this picture of Amaya being really engaged in whatever she's seeing on her mom's phone there. And we also have to remember that we're all part of the same body. As I show a picture of my daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren at Christmas. And then finally, we also have to keep loving each other, knowing that we're all the same in God's eyes. And therefore, when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. There's a picture of Amari and Amaya. Amari getting a kiss on Amaya's forehead there. I want to close with something Dr. King said. He said that evil may so shape events that Caesar will occupy a palace and Christ a cross. But that same Christ arose and split history into AD and BC, so that even the life of Caesar must be dated by his name. Yes, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. We have to continually learn what the moral universe looks like, because nowadays, morality is being defined as something much different than what God intended. That's why recently Ta-Nehisi Coates, who wrote The Case for Reparations, questioned, does indeed the moral universe, the arc of the moral universe, bend towards justice? He's questioned it because of what we're seeing in our society today. But if morality is truly based on God's word and what God intended for this world to be, then yes, I believe the arc of the moral universe does bend towards justice. Lastly, we got to remember the ultimate dream. Jesus was part of God's dream to see us love each other enough to give our lives for each other, let alone our comfort. Jesus' return is that final clue and key we need for the escape room. Until that happens, let's work together to figure this thing out.
There is power in the name of Jesus. every chain, to break 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 every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain.
This is Jim Linder with today's intercessory prayer. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer, do you think of Jesus doing a theological exercise on proper praying? What to include, what to leave out? Or do you see him looking around at a people oppressed by a foreign power, by the inequity of rich and poor, seeing those who were sick or hungry, hearing the beggars and experiencing the death even of his beloved friend Lazarus, and his heart breaking open with compassion, knowing this is not at all what his Heavenly Father intends for creation? As we pray today, may our hearts break open with compassion as well. I'll mention some topics from the Lord's Prayer, and you can add your own prayers in the space provided. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, because we are brokenhearted to see how far we are from your will being done on earth. Add your own prayers. Lord, hear our prayer. Give us today our daily bread, because we see the news reports of how many are experiencing food insecurity, how many are hungry or even starving. Our food banks and pantries and soup kitchens are strained to capacity. Add your own prayers. Lord, hear our prayer. Lead us not into temptation, from the temptation to anxiety and hopelessness and despair, or the temptation toward anger and even rage at the injustice of it all, or the temptation to forget that the Spirit of God in us is to lead and guide us into a beloved community marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Add your prayers. Lord, hear our prayer. Please add any additional prayers you might have. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Amen.
In the silence, tell me, can you hear the voices calling out of the disappeared? Broken spirits, dormant dreams, how much longer will justice sleep when a lawless heart?
Hello, Associate Pastor Melissa Logson here to lead us in today's benediction. Perfect light of revelation, as you shone in the life of Jesus, so shine in us and through us, that we may become beacons of truth and compassion, enlightening all creation with deeds of justice and mercy. Amen.
We believe in the saving power, in the saving power of the name. We believe in the saving power, in the saving power of the name. We believe in the saving power, in the saving power of the name. We believe in the saving power, in the saving power of the name. His name is Justice, a mighty fortress, a balm for the weary, a refuge and our strength. His name is
Justice, a mighty fortress.